had a technological problem back there. I put new ink cartridges in the printer, but somehow it wasn't wanting to recognize the black cartridge, so it was printing out blank sheets of paper. So I just changed everything to blue and printed it out that way. So we got it printed. Amen. I studied out a complete different message than what I'm going to preach this morning. So I guess the message I studied out before this morning, before I got here, will be for next Christmas. So, so let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you to be here on this Christmas morning, Lord. Lord, we think about, Lord, how, Lord, you came in the form of your Son to wash away the sins of the world, or to redeem us back to what we were before man fell. We thank you, Lord, for that. We give you praise and ask for your guidance in this service, Lord, that would be a help and strength to the people. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. You may be seated. What I'd like to speak on is it had to be exactly at that time. It had to be exactly at that time. Brother Branham, you know, he says that it's a shame that they've made this time of the year to be all about Santa Claus and toys and sleighs and reindeers magically flying up to rooftops. When he said really what is supposed to be the true meaning of Christmas, or the true Christmas story, he actually said, is about the birth of Christ. And so looking at that, I believe that that's very important. The Bible never tells us exactly what time of the year it was when he was born. It doesn't come right out and just right out say it at what time of the year that he was born. We know that the world, through history, they've moved the date around a little bit from time to time throughout history. And we know that eventually, finally, it ended up being on the 25th of Christmas, or 25th of December. And maybe you didn't know it didn't start there. It at one time they had it like on the 6th of December. And another time they had it actually sometime in January. And they kind of moved the date around, and some of the moving around wasn't actually so much to do with when Christ was born as much as it was to do with the cultures and who was saying it. But they finally settled on to where now, and it's been for ages, that they look at December the 25th. And the prophet said that in his opinion that he would have been born in the springtime. But it's always at this time of the year to when people begin to have Christmas and begin to look at it being the birth of Christ. And I believe that so far then we ought to have something to teach the little ones and to bring into our remembrance what it really, the Brother Branham said, the real Christmas story is about. Now, what we just read in the scripture was about how there had been a tax imposed upon the people, and to pay the tax, they had to return to the city from which they were from in order to pay the tax. And God had his son be born, and it had to be at this time. It had to be at this time because it had to be at a time where Joseph and Mary didn't have a choice. They had no choice on whether they were going to go back to Bethlehem or not. They had to go because it was a king's order. And so they couldn't say, well, she's too far along with child. We won't make this trip. And like we would think today in a case like that, why people won't even, women don't necessarily make long trips, even with all the conveniences and luxuries that we have today. They didn't have any of that back then. There wasn't no plush ride for him to drive her around in. She had to ride on the back of a little donkey. And that would be a rough ride because we weren't talking about smooth going, but it would be rough. The roads would be rough, and there would be places where the donkey could stumble. And they might have looked at it and said, well, this ain't a very good time to be making this trip. But the thing was, they had no choice. They had to make it. They had to make the trip because they had to return to the city of their origin to be taxed. But that was looking at the natural. But looking at the spiritual, they had to return because the child had to be born in Bethlehem. So now that was on God's timetable. And God will allow things to transpire in the natural to get us where we need to be in the spiritual. He allowed this to transpire with the taxation so that Joseph and Mary would be in a situation where there was no choice. They had to go back to Bethlehem. And I find it strange why they would have to return to their origin to pay taxes. Today, they don't care where you're at. I don't have to go back to where I'm originally from to pay taxes. They'll take your taxes no matter where you're at. But at that time, it was set up this way. And it was because they didn't have Social Security numbers like we have today where they can track you down no matter where you are. But in a way to keep a census of the people, they'd have to return back to where their origin was. And so it also had to be at that time because that there was a king that was on the throne called Herod. And Herod was a murderer. And it had to be at a time to have someone like Herod that wouldn't have a conscience to bother him so that he would go after the child. So he would seek after the child to destroy it. Because no man with a conscience could have rightly said out his army to begin to kill all the babies 2 years old and down. But Herod was a harsh man. He had murdered his own brother just to take his wife. And he was a cruel man at heart. And so it had to be at this time And I think of all the other babies that were born at this time. And I think about it because they had to be born at this time, even though God knew their lives was going to be taken. They still had to be born at this time in order to hide the Savior of the world. Now, when you look at it that way, some people would say, well, if God knew they were going to be killed and he let them be born knowing they're going to be killed, how cruel is God? But it's not like that. Those babies that gave their lives, those babies went to heaven. And none of them, when it was over and said, were regretting what happened. They weren't even thinking about it. They were just happy to be where they were. And it's like in the same thing in the days when Moses was born, just a baby. And you think of all the other Israelite babies that gave their lives. It was a type of what was going to happen when Christ was to come on the scene. Because Moses later said, the Lord our God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. And so it was paralleling those times, a foreshadow of it. And it had to be then at this time that it would happen. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that it had to be this time of the year. In whatever time of the year it was, it had to be that time. And that's the way that God brings things about in our lives. There's things that happen to us that must happen to us at the very time that it's happening. And there's a reason for it. Imagine Joseph and Mary weren't rich. Joseph wasn't a rich man, but he was still having to give up money, probably money he didn't hardly even have, to pay this tax. And you think, would God have mercy on him? God allowed this to get him where he needed to be and to have everything set the way it was supposed to be. The scene had to be set before the child could be born. And I think that how that along the road there could have been perhaps robbers, because there would have been many people traveling the roads at that time because of each of them having to go back to where they was from to get taxed or to pay taxes. So there have been many people traveling on the roads at that time. That would have been a grand setup for those highway robbers. Wait until the night when they've bedded down, go in, kill every one of them, take what they had. And here's this young couple, young married couple, having to make this trip that way in that danger. And I think of the wild beasts that roamed the deserts and how that, what could Joseph have done if one came and attacked the mother? Why, he couldn't have much done anything. But it didn't happen because the child had to be born at this time. They had to face all the perils. They had to face all the dangers. Perhaps they could have thought of all the peril that could be in their way and the dangers they'd have to face. Many times we give thought to things of that nature. And it would have been a better decision for them not to go, perhaps, rather than face all these perils. And God knew that they were going to face all these perils. And they faced them as human beings just like you and me. They weren't super. They had no superpowers. There was no supernatural about them. They were humans, man and woman, just like you and I. They had feelings and thoughts just like you and I. They would have had fears just like you and I. But they had to overcome those things, put it aside, and to go on. And I think how sure-footed that donkey must have been that it never stumbled. It was able to bring that mother. And it had to be at that time that the inn would be full. You think if Christ was having his child, if God was having the Christ to be born, wouldn't he have picked the time when there'd have been a nice room for it to have it in? No. He picked the time when the inn was going to be full. No vacancy. A time when they would have had to have then turned and went into where the cattle are. Went into a barn. Somewhere where they kept the cattle. And here they were. They took the swaddling cloth, which is today we use blankets on the back of a horse before we put the saddle on, and that's what the swaddling cloth was. It was, they put that on the back of the oxen, and that's what he was wrapped up in. And it had to be that way. God wanted it that way. Why? So that he could hide him. Because it wasn't time for it to be revealed what God was doing. Anytime if Satan can find out what God's doing, he tries to do all he can to stop it. And when Satan finally did find out about this child, why, and moved on Herod to bring about the death of the child, well, it was too late. Satan was one step behind God. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 2. Verse 1 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." There is some that say that these three men, they were astrologers. They watched the stars, to read the time. And there would be constellations of stars that would take place and happen, and there would be meaning to it. And all people are born, are affected in their birth, they're affected by the stars and signs that they're born under. And I'm not talking about these things you read from day to day, your horoscope. I'm not talking about a horoscope. I'm talking about the characteristics that goes along with certain signs, because there are certain stars that were in a certain constellation when you were born. And you don't even know, perhaps, other than knowing what month you were born in, so then knowing what sign you're under. But that means why you're under that sign is that was when that constellation of stars come and lined up where they could be seen. Are you following me? And these signs are named after different things, animals in our case, and so on. They're named after different things because of the appearance of their constellation. But those constellations that we look at, they happen every month. There's a different constellations of stars. But in the Eastern culture, they watch the stars, and they have stars, watching stars line up every 12 years. And they notice certain stars that are lining up, and then even within every 12 years, there's every 4 years, there's a difference in that sign. And every 12 years, and then there's four different differences in that one sign based over whatever the amount of years that it is. So this 12 years would be one characteristic, another 12 years would be another characteristic, but they would all be under the same sign. Does that make sense? And so these men, they were from the east, and they were watching the stars to see how they lined up, and it would tell the times of the year and the time that they were in. And while Brother Branham said, while they were watching that star and seeing that star appear in the east, he said, the priests were down at the temple debating whether it would be this way or that way. The intellectual, religious intellectuals of that day were arguing about perhaps how it was going to be. When these men that were from the east, they saw this star and began to follow it. Brother Branham says, at thy word, he says, nobody else saw it. This star, the constellation of stars they saw. He said, nobody else saw it. It passed right over every observatory, and every city had a planetarium. They kept the time by the stars. And isn't it strange that them wise men went right through city after city after city after city, following a star that even the stargazers and men of the planetarium, in telling time and things, never saw nothing of it. He said, but it was because the wise men were looking for it. And he says, that's where it's at. You get what you expect. So these men were actually, they were looking for it. They weren't just being took by surprise of the but they were actually looking for this particular constellation to happen. And it had to happen at that certain time. You see how there was so many things that had to be in line and be set before the child could be born. There was things not only on the earth, not only within natural things, but there was things in the heavens that had to be just right and lined up before this child could be born. To me, I think of that and think just how great God is. That he can work so many different things all at once, getting them all in order to be just right, lining up just right, and at the right time. And if he could do that for his child being born, God is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does that in our lives. God makes the heavens line up along with making natural things line up just so it'll be a certain way for him to be able to work a certain thing in your life. That's how much that he cares about us. We don't think on those things very much. We just go about our lives from day to day, not realizing that there's so many different things that are working. There is things that will start to take place in your life in January that so that it will work to be a certain way by December. I know that to be very true this year. There is, and you can sit around and wonder at maybe a problem that you've got, or something that's dealing with needing a solution, something that you're going to have to do something about. And you may be constrained from doing anything about it because of other circumstances. And you have to wait till those circumstances become to where you're beyond those circumstances before you can even do anything about this situation, perhaps. And yet, then you get to thinking, well, when that time comes, what exactly are we going to do? And then just to find out when you get down to that time that it's not been in your hands to begin with, because God does something about it. And all our thought and worry about how we were going to do it, why it was for naught. You know, and I think about this year we had something we were facing and what we were going to do about it once the circumstances allowed us. And we came up with what I thought was some pretty good ideas. But none of them was God's ideal. He worked it out in a complete different way than how I thought it was going to. But he still worked it out. And it brought the solution to the problem or the decision we were facing. It brought a solution. That's the way God does in our lives. A lot of times we don't know what's all going on behind the scenes. That's why we ought to be very careful about kicking up and complaining. Amen. Because we don't know what all God's doing behind the scenes. Amen. What all is working in the heavens even to be a certain way by a certain time for a certain something to happen in your life. Amen. And these three wise men, it is said that they came, three of them, one represented Ham's descendants, another represented Shem's descendants, and another represented Japheth's descendants. Three men representing these three different lineage of descendants. And it said that there were actually three stars that these men had come to where those three stars came together. And when they came together, then Brother Branham said the three made one morning star. And it made one bright morning star when those three, he said, came together. And then those wise men begin to follow that. And it had to be at that time that they were following it. And their journey took them, Brother Branham said, 2 years. They traveled for 2 years. And it had to be that amount of travel because they were supposed to arrive at a certain time at a certain destination. And so, as they were going to be where they needed to be because they were following God's signs in the heavens. So, as they followed, they were going to be where they needed to be when they needed to be. And I'll tell you what, friends, if we will follow God and follow him as he leads us, then we'll be where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be. And but we've got to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And God has chose different ways to bring about leading us by the Holy Ghost. And you say, well, perhaps maybe we're not watching the stars. It doesn't mean they aren't lining up. Those stars lined up even though nobody else but those three wise men saw them. Even though they were the only ones that saw them, it's because the other ones weren't looking for it. They weren't looking for those. And there's it, but it didn't mean that they weren't going to line up. And just because you're not watching the stars doesn't mean there isn't going to be certain constellations line up at a certain time in the heavens for certain things to happen in your life. I think about the determination that these men must have had, because this wasn't a short journey for them. They were following this star just like the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, followed the pillar of fire at night and the cloud by day. And here these men were following this star. And I think how strange it is that it took 2 years' journey, so it took 2 years for that constellation of stars to come and actually line up directly over the child. Brother Branham said that he wasn't an infant. He said he was about 2 years old when they found him on their journey. And I think about the perseverance they must have had to have continued on their journey. And with anticipation, because they weren't just following this star blindly. They knew what this star meant. They knew that they didn't know the exact destination it was going to lead them to, but they knew the destination was going to be where this one, the Christ, was to be born, where he was at. That's where them stars was going to lead them to. And so they were able to persevere and follow those stars. And you think about that there might have been things that would try to delay them in their journey. But God worked it out to where no matter what seemed to lay in their way, their journey would become unhindered so that they could continue to follow that star. And that star moving through the heavens as they followed it. That's something. The star actually moving for them to be able to follow it. Not like we're this, you know, men of the sea. I don't know so much how they do now, but they used to be they followed their routes by watching the stars and the constellations, and they would always know where north was by the North Star. But that North Star doesn't move; it stays right there. But this star was moving. And they followed it as it moved until it came where that the scripture tells us that it was right over where the child was. And these men took into account the time of their journey so that they recognized they came, they weren't looking for an infant. And they recognized then when that star came, it told them this was the child. And they fell down and worshiped him. And they had brought gifts to give him. And I didn't really have time, because my message got changed, to go in and tell you what each of those gifts meant, but each of those gifts they brought had a certain meaning and were brought. It wasn't just any gifts that were brought. They brought frankincense and myrrh, and these had particular reasons that it was for these to be brought. How timely God is. Hallelujah, how timely God is. And notice when they came, they went and began to ask the men of Jerusalem, they began to ask, where was this child at? And isn't it strange that the people wouldn't even know what in the world they were talking about? What do you mean, where is this certain child? And they would say, well, a star has led us here. We know that this child was to be born, and we want to know where he's at. That they would think that perhaps it was so great of a thing that all the world was going to know about it. But they didn't. Amen. It was only the shepherds that were tending their flocks when an angel came and appeared to them and told them. And it was these three wise men. Think about it. It wasn't that well broadcast and known. Elizabeth knew about it because Mary had told her how the angel had visited her and what he had said. As the scripture says that the baby leaped inside of Elizabeth at the hearing of how the angel had come and appeared to Mary and how she was going to bring forth the Messiah. And thinking about that child in Elizabeth hadn't moved at all during that time until Mary came and told this story, which made it very significant that the child moved then for the first time. How much of a relief that must have been to Elizabeth, because she had been barren and not able to have children. What a relief that was to her to finally not have to worry, because now she felt the life of it inside her. So as they came and they were asking around, it ended up they went to Herod. And they asked Herod, and Herod didn't know what they were talking about. So Herod called in some other men from the synagogue to tell him, what in the world does any of this mean? Does it mean anything? And so they told him of the prophecy. And when Herod heard of the prophecies that there was to be a governor rise, then Herod began to think about his own position and how he didn't want to lose what he had. And so he set about in his mind, well, then to eliminate this, because he took it as meaning something literal in the natural instead of something spiritual. He had no spiritual thinking at all. You think about, there's people you run into sometimes, they have no spiritual conception of anything. And you go to talk anything to them about God, other than the fact that there is a God, and you go beyond that, and it's like you're speaking a foreign language to them. And Herod then, when he found this out, then he sought then, and he told the wise men, when you find him, said, come back and tell me where he's at. But the Bible says that The wise men had a dream, and in the dream they were warned not to go back to Herod after they found the child. See how God works? And he warned these men, and these men obeyed the warning. And the Bible says they went and left by another way rather than go back by Herod. And then the Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream and told him to raise up and take the child and the mother and to flee into Egypt. And the reason he was to flee into Egypt was to protect the child, protect from Herod finding him. But how it was that in the prophecies of Hosea, he said he would call his son out of Egypt. And so the scripture says that he also, the reason they went was because God moved on them to go, because he said, out of Egypt have I called my son. So it was fulfilling the prophecy of Hosea. And they were to wait there until the Lord told them to come back. And that's something. They were to wait there. And you know, how many times have we been told, well, wait? And we want to know how long we're going to have to wait. We go somewhere and you go into Walmart. And I imagine every one of you go down looking at each line to see if you can find the shortest one to wait in. See somebody with a big old cart full, overflowing, you say, I ain't getting in that line. See, we want to know how long we're going to have to wait. We don't want to wait too long. But when God has us wait, he doesn't always tell us how long we're going to have to wait. And I'll tell you what, the waiting will work something out in you. You might be impatient about it to start with. It might tear your nerves up to start with. But I'll tell you what, you'll get through it. God will bring you through it and you'll learn something by it. And I want to think of myself not being like Israel was when they came out of Egypt. No matter what God done for them, they never learned nothing from anything. No matter what he fulfilled or done for them or how he provided for them, they never learned nothing from any of it. Because they were always finding something to whine and complain about. Now, I don't want to be that way, Lord. Help me not to be that way. Always looking for something to get mad about. There are people who go around just looking for something to get mad about. There's people just go around looking for something to get them, you know, to get something started. But I don't want to be that way. I want to be able to wait on the Lord patiently, and I don't want to be looking for trouble or trying to cause trouble or complaining and whining about how something is. Many times we complain and whine about things when what we should do is be taking them to God and talking to God about them. Many times we talk to people who can't do a thing about it. But God can do something about it. And I know that God does use through your brothers and sisters sometimes to help when you need to be calmed or need some encouragement. God works through your brothers and sisters sometimes to encourage you. I do believe that. But at the same time, the man we need to be talking to is the man upstairs. That's who we need to be talking to about it. And I think sometimes the reason people don't do it is they find it pretty hard to get down and complain to God. But I've always been a firm believer of, I get down to pray and I talk to God just like as if I was talking to anyone else. I tell him what I'm feeling. I tell him what I'm worried about. I tell him how that I feel, maybe perhaps if I felt like I've been done wrong. And I talk to the Lord about it. And I can tell you this, just because I feel like I've been wrong, and even if I have been wrong, doesn't mean that God's going to move on them to come back and make it right. But it does mean God's going to work on me where I can forgive and just go on. So it had to be at that time when they left to go to Egypt so that the child could be protected. And then there had to be a certain time for him to come back. And he was told to wait until, let's see, he said, flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word. So until God again would bring them word, they were just to stay there. And I think about that. What if God told you, and I'm not saying he is, but I'm just trying to get you to understand this. What if God told you all of a sudden, look, I want you to go down to Atlanta, Georgia, and you stay there until I give you word? Well, you got a home here. You're all settled in, settled down. You got a job here. You know how to take care of yourself here. And you have to uproot and go down there to where you don't know even where you're going to stay. What are you going to do? How's it going to work out? Well, that's where Joseph was. The Bible says Joseph was a carpenter. Well, he knew how to make a living in the nation of Israel. That's where he had grown up. And so he had settled there, had a place, no doubt. The reason they would be able to return to that place after the child was born, because the only reason they was there, remember, was to pay taxes in Bethlehem. But they went, and he went and ended up living in Nazareth later on. But to think that God told him to go, and Joseph went. Because God also told him that Herod's going to seek the life of this child. So Joseph took the mother and himself and the baby and went to Egypt. And had to no doubt had to set things up to live there for a while because he didn't know how long he was going to be there. So he had to be able to provide for himself and the mother and the child. And I think about that, how at that time there must have been some opening. There must have been some kind of need, perhaps for a carpenter in Egypt, so that Joseph would have a way to provide for his family until God told him to come back. Isn't that something, how he works everything out? Many times we worry. I tell you, I've had to pull up roots and move. And I've done it several times in my life. And so maybe that's why it isn't so psychological taxing for me. Now I guess maybe I got deeper roots sink down than I've ever had before. And of course, I don't believe I'm going anywhere either. I believe I'm where I'm supposed to be. But to think that I know what it's like to be uprooted and told to go somewhere and not know how you're going to make it. Not knowing where are you going to stay? And when you get there, how are you going to make it? How, you know, and then to have to give up work, give up any known income that you currently have and go off somewhere completely else and just depend on God. But I'll tell you this, what I've learned, God will take care of you. If you follow him and do what he says do, you'll be where you need to be, when you need to be, and God will take care of you while you're there. Amen. There was a certain time when he had to come back. There was a certain time when he had to go into the temple and to begin to talk to the men there when he was just 12 years old. And it had to be at that time. And here there had been nothing even said about him since his birth and since going to Egypt. There was nothing more said about him until he was 12 years old. And to think then that Mary and Joseph, or Mary especially, had become so used to having this son without any supernatural going on, that when they missed him, when they found him, she said, "Where have you been? Your father and I have been looking for you, worried about you." And, you know, she had just been so used to the natural things, how they were, that she wasn't expecting or wasn't actually taking notice of something supernatural beginning to happen. And then there's nothing more mentioned really about him until he was in his 30s. When his ministry began. But he had to live during all that time. And he had to be where he was supposed to be at the right time when he turned into his 30s in order to start his ministry. And there was things he had to experience in life. There was things he had to go through in life. And he had to face the everyday grind of life. Just so that he could be your intercessor. And there's nothing wrote about all those years and times, but things were happening. Sometimes when you look at an individual, maybe you've just met them later on in life, this family or whatever, and you don't know all the back history, all the things that they had to face and all the things God brought them through to bring them to where they're at. But God's done that for each and every one of you. I think if we had a show of hands, there'd be more not from Tennessee in here than there is, or just as much that's not from Tennessee as there is people who are from Tennessee. And God yet brought us all here to be together. And everything happened just at the right time it was supposed to happen in our lives. And it couldn't be before those times. And I'm thankful to the Lord that how that, you know, this assembly, I came to a place where it needed a pastor. And I think about it, and at that time, I wasn't ready to be a pastor. I had some things yet God had to take me through and prepare me for that. And so God had Brother John Andes here for a little while to help see you through. And I'm thankful for that. And he's a good brother. I love him. And But God knew how it was all going to be, and it was going to be at a certain time. And that's the way, with the message, what I want to get across to you today, is as you look at things that go on in your life, know this, God is in control of it all, and things are happening the way they should happen. And while they're happening, there's even things in the heavens lining up to be a certain way by a certain time for a certain event in your life. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and hope you have have had some time already with your families and have some more time with them today or something, and I wish you to have a good time with your families. And some of those that aren't here, perhaps for maybe sick or something, why, when you go home, you tell them that I said Merry Christmas. And I love them. Amen. I love y'all. Amen. Brother Nate.
If everyone stand. Sing He's Got It All in Control.
He's got it all in control. Thank you.